Hey, thanks for spending time with me. Rusnowski here. This is Porchlight. Despite the heritage suggested by my last name, I am Italian on my mother's side. This might explain my recently discovered affection for espresso and long discussions using hand gestures. Roots are where you start off in life. But the result of being around a while is that those long dormant characteristics from your ancestry begin to assert themselves randomly and rapidly. This is seldom attractive in men physically. Italian males tend to develop a pronounced paunch while their lower legs and forearms get spindly. A woolen ivy cap, a sleeveless undershirt, a day's growth of beard, it quickly becomes a slippery slope. So, in seeking deliverance from this, my plan is to rush headlong into the mouth of the beast, a summer trip to Milan, only about 140 miles from my mother's village, a stroll from the central train station to the Galleria Vittorio Emanuele II. An enormous glass-roofed arcade completed in 1877. A straw Borsellino to walk under, shined black Adolfos to walk in. A cafe table at Savini's. Oh, you must join me. The espressos and the passionate hand gestures have no meaning otherwise. The rest of it will be completely unplanned. Once we reach there, we must never decide what we'll talk about.
I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Java, sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Oh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I cut a rug till I'm snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one.
Draw one.
Waiter, waiter, percolator.
I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boston beans.
Soybean.
I said the little itty bitty green bean.
Cabbage and greens.
You know that I'm not keen about a bean. Unless it is a chili chili bean.
Talk it, boy.
I love Java, sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie.
Yeah.
You shoot me the pie, now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup of dats and
muscles. Ooh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I'll cut a rug that's snug in a jug. Drive your nickel in my pot,
Joe.
Taking it slow. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. Java and me,
yeah.
A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Boy.
There's a stain on There's ash in the pages. Now I've got myself lost. I was writing to tell you that my feelings tonight are a stain on my notebook that brings your goodbye. Oh, now she's gone and I'm back on the beat. A stain on my notebook says
The house rules here generally give priority to the original version and the performing songwriters. Nevertheless, Manhattan Transfer's re-recording of the Ink Spots hit, Age and Authenticity, provided by the Surface Pops on the LP. Then Squeeze, Black Coffee in Bed. Sorry, boys, too clumsy to consider it. In Key West a couple years ago, I was introduced to a Cuban concoction called the cortado and its wayward cousin, the cortadito. Does little more than tug at your sleeve. The raw cane sugar supposedly picks up where the dark roast leaves off, though I'm still hoping to experience when that is exactly. Imagine my delight to find the cortado being offered at Hopscotch Coffee here in Bloomington. Coffee is a ritual, and a ritual always has more meaning when it's shared. The barista at Hop 2 on Madison not only remembered my order the second time, but made it authentically enough that I remembered watching the sunrise at southernmost point. Coffee is great for so many things: reviving memories, conducting discussions, telling stories. In that spirit, my party of two guests, Jane Coopersmith, just talk and shop.
I hail from Keokuk, Iowa, which is a small town on the Mississippi River. It was dreamy. I grew up probably a half a mile from the Mississippi with a really beautiful WPA era park between my house and the river. You know, when we were really little, we could only go around the cul-de-sac. And then we were a little older, we could go down to Iker Street. And then when we were in fifth grade, we could ride on Iker Street down to Rand Park. And then I think sixth grade and on, we were kind of cut loose on our bikes for the entire summer. One of the more exciting times in Keokuk as a kid would be when the river boats would come through. The Delta Queen and the Mississippi Queen would go up and down. We could hear the calliope playing from our little neighborhood, and we kids would hop on our bikes and hustle down to Rand Park to try to catch a glimpse of the boats. And if we were really early, we could make it all the way down to the lock and dam. And so these river boats would have to take their time getting in the locks and making it down to the next stage of the river. And as they were going through the locks, we kids would, like a bunch of street urchins, hang on the fence that was meant to keep us out while the people from the boats would throw candy and coins at us. And we felt like it was the most exciting thing ever. If we had enough booty at the end of that experience, we would have ridden to the Dairy Queen to go get ice cream or something.
Let's talk a little bit about coffee and your relationship to it. Do you remember being introduced to coffee? How old were you?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about this for a long time. I probably had some at my grandmother's kitchen table. She had a bun coffee maker that made a fast cup of coffee, and she always had a house full. This is on a farm in Nebraska. She was used to serving a lot of people, so I think that was the main goal, was speed, but I don't know that it was the tastiest.
When you first conceived of the idea of Hopscotch, what you wanted it to do beyond just serving coffee?
My business partner, Jeff Grant, and I have always been pretty conservative in how we think about the business and approach. We were really modest about what we thought it could do. So we started it as a really small cafe with seating. And I think our main mission was just to get good coffee in Bloomington and to provide a good work environment. And I think every day when we're in and out of the shops, we feel just a lot of gratitude about what it has become. You know, it's really a lot like having a child. You anticipate this birth and you think you know how everything's going to go. And then the second the baby is born, it's a process of letting go and letting it become the thing that it is.
One of the things that I've noticed, for instance, that all three of your locations are in the heart of town. They're walkable, and probably more people visit them on their feet and on their bicycles than they do driving. Could you tell me about how conscious that is?
Yeah, having our locations, the two Hopscotches and then Rainbow Bakery, which is at 4th and Rogers, having them all located in the downtown corridor was really deliberate and also self-serving. We all live downtown, and we are pedestrians. We like to bike, and we weren't really interested in driving. I think we really wanted the location to be downtown. And sure enough, when we were doing the build-out, we would meet down there on our bikes. I live at one end of the B-line, and Jeff lives in Prospect Hill. So it's really easy to get to both of our locations, and it feels like a gift to be able to go to work and not have to get in a vehicle. It's such a treat, especially in the summer. I would hop on my bike and ride down the trail and buzz through the farmer's market as the vendors were setting up shop. It's just such a sweet time to see Bloomington. All the service industry people are up and preparing for the day and preparing to, you know, meet the town and have everything ready for them. And it's just a unique window, but I think about that often. I think that's one of my favorite moments.
The tradition that hopscotch is part of is this whole idea of cafe society. And what it meant for the whole idea of political connection, artistic inspiration. I just want to ask you about that whole tradition of discussion, however that manifests. Now, I realize that a lot of individuals who come into hopscotch are by themselves, mm-hmm. and they're having discussions with their screen. But there's also often a synergy that emerges with people sitting down across from one another, and maybe more than two people. Can you talk about either what you've witnessed or what you imagine goes on in those discussions? Fueled in no small part by coffee.
I was thinking about my conception of European Cafe Society and what connections I think there are to our modern American iteration of the coffee shop. And I think we are fearful often of interacting with strangers in our modern times because we're so used to systematized interactions via our devices. And the coffee shop is an interesting place because it's where these two things kind of meet, and it helps put people at ease. So people are more willing to open up and talk to a stranger. That said, there are many mornings and afternoons at Hopscotch where it's just a room full of laptops and keyboard clicks. It definitely has a different vibe on the weekends, though, and really comes a lot more alive. And there are people kind of draped all over the sofa and waiting for their drinks. And it's definitely a little more alive at different points.
I hate sports analogies, but I'm going to pull one out. Okay. Because a lot of what you try to do in terms of developing success is to recruit players who want to play and play with you. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about the human element that infuses this whole thing?
When we opened, we were so lucky in our ability to recruit the right players. And there were some top-notch people with coffee experience in town who were really excited to have a joint that was a roastery and a shop with nice equipment and daylight. I think we had virtually no turnover for the first 3 years of our business. Customer service, if you've ever worked it, is exhausting and has a shelf life, even if you're extroverted and you love it, although it does attract introverts, which is kind of funny in and of itself. The high volume of interactions can be really draining after a while, and I think anyone staying in it for 3 years, I mean, that's a long time. And so we feel really proud that we were able to make a place that staff wanted to stay at that long. And then I think a kind of natural attrition happened, and we have a new class of recruits. They're great to work with too, and I'm getting to know them in a different way. The first group I knew really personally because Jeff and I were working the bar alongside them, and we were shoulder to shoulder with them. But as we've grown, we don't really do that as much anymore. So the relationship has shifted. Yeah, we're lucky.
Currently, what is your ritual? What role does coffee play in your life?
Well, it is my favorite part of the day. And this tells me that I think I might be in the right business. I'm really 5.5 years into hopscotch. And my favorite part of the day is every morning when I wake up before the rest of my household. I sort of tiptoe downstairs, usually around 6:15, and I make a French press of whatever coffee. It's like the cobbler's children wearing no shoes. I take whatever reject coffee is sitting around, a bag that's half open, and 2 months old or whatever. And I read a hard copy of the newspaper, and maybe a cat sits with me. And then I drop my kid off at school, pick up the mail, and come to usually little hop two or tiny hop, as we call it. I've been drinking cafe au lait lately. That's new. I've never really been into those, but I think that they're really good. So that's my routine, and I look forward to all of it.
I've always liked the good things in life. Good art, a good book, good coffee. I'm so particular about my coffee. Our cook says, make it yourself. And so I do.
A small framed portrait. A lighted candle. Corner shrine for one Virginia Christine. She started her life as Virginia Christine Ricketts, born from hearty Swedish stock in Stanton, a small town in southwest Iowa. She studied classical piano as a child and developed ambitions to be a serious performer. That did happen eventually, but not until Virginia moved to California with her family, dropped her last name, and took acting lessons from a man she soon married. The early 1940s, a young starlet under contract with Warner Brothers Pictures. Uncredited roles, scenes winding up on the cutting room floor, bit parts. Some great movies, though. The Killers, Cyrano de Bergerac, and High Noon. Then, a second career once television came along. The Adventures of Superman, Father Knows Best, Hazel, Peter Gunn. She did a Rawhide episode with Clint Eastwood, The Big Valley with Barbara Stanwyck. By that time, though, Virginia was in her mid-40s. Character roles were all she'd ever gotten, and likely all she'd ever get. Her husband was Fritz Feld, a longtime character actor himself. I bet you might recognize him. Try Barefoot in the Park, Hello Dolly, or Pocketful of Miracles. Oh, he'll stand out. Fritz's signature was a popping sound created by artfully slapping an open palm against his mouth. By 1965, the differences in their respective careers had become evident. Fritz was 20 years older and still getting more work. Let me guess, it might have something to do with how men and women are perceived to age in the industry. Actors act, but they generally have to wait to be invited. Then, seemingly out of the blue, the role of a lifetime, at least for a working actor. Over the next 20 years, Virginia Christine would act in over 100 30-second and minute-long commercials, developing her character. A friendly neighbor with a Swedish accent and a counselor to young couples on the joys of mountain-grown Folgers coffee. Success measured in many ways beyond being called Mrs. Olson in restaurants, airport lobbies, and ladies' rooms everywhere for the rest of her life. Consider this. It's been over 30 years since Virginia Christine played Mrs. Olson for the last time on television, and Folgers remains the best-selling ground coffee in America. And then there's this little touch of hometown pride. A water tower in Stanton, Iowa, refashioned to resemble a coffee pot. Virginia Christine Day. Imagine it. A parade down Main Street. Key to the city. Maybe Fritz topped off her thank you remarks with a pop.
Voilà, monsieur. Chateau Flaubert, 1953. A magnificent little wine.
That was very good. How do you do that?
Oh, monsieur.
Thank you.
Thank you, monsieur.
Don't beg.
Mm-hmm.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to sell their quota, and the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Savor. Coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why, they put coffee in the Java in Brazil. No tea, or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a cruller. Dunking doesn't take a lot of skill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Hey, nice to be with you. You're listening to Porchlight with Tom Rusnowski. Production support for this program comes from Smithville at smithville.com and from Gilbert Construction, remodeling homes since 1994.
There's no coffee!
No coffee! Oh!
Someone I never see. And the long black dream.
I'd drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I'd drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home. A quarter to 12, you're still not in. The way you run around is the dark on the sin. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home. A quarter to 3, I start watching the clock. The phone won't ring, so I'm waiting for your knock. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come
from 0 to 40 there. First, the answer hidden in the Broadway production of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, followed by the Jayhawks and their prescription for a sound night's sleep. Then the Red Zone. Ella Mae Morse, 40 cups of coffee, comparing favorably with Lyndon Baines Johnson, who during his presidency maintained a 60-cigarette-a-day habit. So, what do you have with your coffee?
Oh, now, don't you start telling me I shouldn't dunk.
Of course you shouldn't. You don't know how to do it. Dunking's an art. Don't let it soak so long. A dip and flop in your mouth. If you let it hang there too long, it'll get soft and fall off. It's all a matter of timing. Oh, I'll write a book about it.
Thanks, Professor.
It was 7:45 on the line to meet the teacher, Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy, third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood at the back of the line, a smile beneath her nose. Favorite number was 20, and every single day. If you ask her what you had for breakfast, this is what she'd say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, a side order of ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Cynthia wore the prettiest dress with different color socks. Sometimes I wonder if the mates were in her lunchbox. Me and Lucy opened it with Cynthia one round. Lucy cried, almost died. You know what we found.
Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, and a side order of ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe
understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Oh. Just like the one she draws on every wall, in every school. But it's alright, it's for worthy cause. Gonson, I keep saying starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, side of her ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee,
play-by-play back. How I could change the test results if I will get back. I've watched the summer evening pass by. I've heard the rattle in my bronchi. Someday I'll have a disappearing hairline. Daytime. Miss Elliot.
Critical as to what goes with it beyond cream and sugar, Prince with Starfish and Coffee, and then a literary suggestion from Crash Test Dummies. Time spent indoors, but a perfect day nonetheless. For this postcard home, the postmark reads Constantinople. It is generally thought that the ancient city of Constantinople was home to the very first coffee shop, Kiva Han, established around 1475. A few centuries later, an intrepid French traveler described the frenetic activity he observed inside one of its successors. All the habitués were male, no surprise, although under Turkish law, a wife could divorce her husband if he failed to provide her enough coffee. As you might expect, a constant din created by the discussion of various subjects, but there were plenty of other diversions going on within those walls simultaneously. Dervishes trance dancing, storytellers of myth, preachers, puppetry, and occasionally a game of agility that originated in Persia called Lele. We have since come to know it as hopscotch. I wonder if those dervishes ever faced off. The coffee, black, sludgy, and very strong. It was the Viennese that later added cream and sugar. The waiters in those places must have been the busiest and most nimble in recorded history, weaving in and out of the customers seated on low stools or on the floor, balancing their precious cargo on a tray. Ooh, don't trip over that hookah. Shouting the Turkish equivalent of gangway. Rough translation, the lords are coming. So, in an effort to understand, would you get up for any reason that wasn't absolutely necessary? Or, after a few hours of sipping and smoking, could you get up for any reason at all? Our postcard home, produced circa 1907, clearly for the Western market. A sepia-toned photograph of a few contented fellows who wouldn't be leaving Constantinople anytime soon. Their more immediate ancestors did, though, as Ottoman soldiers laying siege to Vienna in 1653. They were not able to capture the city by force of arms, but left behind huge bags of coffee beans, which did the job quite nicely after their departure. The lesson, obviously, make coffee, not war.
I'm just a little Jackie Horner,
since I met my sugar cane. A gang of mine has been revealing that they're feeling sore.
I left the lamplight on that old corner,
saw the moon in Lover's Lane. I'm doing things I never did before.
When I take my sugar to tea, all the boys are jealous of me, 'cause I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. I'm a rowdy, dowdy, that's me. She's a high hat, baby, that's she. So I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. Every Sunday afternoon, we forget about our cares, rubbing trouble at the Ritz with those millionaires. When I take my sugar to tea, I'm as ritzy there as I can be. 'Cause I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea.
Equal time for the other sippin' stimulant, sister and brother acts with the Boswells and the Kinks. I've found that for me the best advice and life lessons tend to come through observation rather than formal instruction, which is to say, my many teachers demonstrate rather than demonstrate. Years ago, I was given Marge Gravett's name as a potential narrator for the closing credits to the Hometown radio series. I phoned Marge and requested a time when we could meet. 4 p.m., I was told, any day I wanted. That flexibility and rigidity, I found out, came from a daily ritual Marge had observed for many years. One martini and one Camel unfiltered cigarette at the close of the afternoon. Oh, one more number that's important here. Marge Gravett lived to be 100. Now, we know how the excess of such temptations can shorten a life. To me, Marge's moderation and devotion seemed to be the equivalent of nightly prayers or a small weekly bank deposit. I've tried to model my behavior accordingly. One thing that helps me in this regard is to make up a verse to remember by. So, I've devised one personal koan to guide my consumption of martinis and one for the consumption of espressos. Never acquired a taste for cigarettes. Billy Pritchard told me in seventh grade it would stunt my growth. First, for the remaining half of Marge's practice. Quote, always after five, never more than two. I shared this with Dick Bishop over martinis once. He smiled. As for espresso, I'll admit I've frequently broken my rule here, which I believe you can do if you actually wrote it. Quote, never after two, always one and done. Yeah, na zdrovje. And so, next time.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome. Haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down brew. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room. To the shadows, 1 o'clock to four, and Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my, I'm hanging. Sunday dreams to dry. Now a man is born to go a-loving. A woman's born to weep and fret, to stay. Morning, all the night, and in between it's nicotine and not much heart to fight. Black coffee, feeling low as the ground. It's driving me crazy this waiting for my baby to maybe come around. My nerves have gone to pieces. My hair is turning gray. All I do is drink black coffee since my man's gone away.
I have to be quiet because I'll get busted. Here's how you do it. Stiff lips, can't be afraid to hit yourself. Ready? One, two, three. Boom.
Production support for Porch Light with Tom Rusnowski comes from Smithville, fiber internet, streaming TV, home security and automation in Southern Indiana. More information at smithville.com. And from Gilbert Construction, specializing in restoring, remodeling, and revitalizing Bloomington-area homes since 1994. More information about Gilbert Construction by calling 812-876-8110 or on the web at gilbertbuilt.us. Porchlight is engineered by our radio audio director, Mike Pascash. Our executive producer is John Bailey. Visit us at wfiu.org/porchlight.